Now, Malcolm Heading was down to speak today. Malcolm, known to many here, great friend of the church, leader of the Christian Embassy for many years, and now pastoring in Murfreesboro. Now, Murfreesboro is over in the States, and you've probably never heard of it. I'd never heard of it. But as we heard Malcolm, some of the leaders the other day, the church is now 10,000 strong. And Alan, who also wanted to come over, he's the sort of senior pastor. He had a sudden call for different things. He had to go, so Malcolm had to go back home, so you're left with me. That's the story there. But is that a clapper? Anyway, one of the things that Malcolm was highlighting, you know, our midweek groups, the whiteboard. This is where this church has just grown, and we've heard about Alpha as well. But every one of us is called to be fishers of men. I hate it when people say, well, I'm not really an evangelist. We're all called to share the gospel, the good news. Every single one here is called to share the good news. And we need to get stronger and stronger in this. We need to start just talking to people. It doesn't matter whether they reject you, but you'd be surprised how many people actually are just waiting to hear. Because there's not much good news around. But we've got the best news. And it's not just measured in terms of time. It's measured in the terms of eternity. Because everything God does is about eternity. It's eternal. That's why it tells us that the Bible is an eternal word. Heaven and earth can pass away, but his word will never pass away. You've heard me say this many times, but we don't read the Bible. The Bible reads us. And when God starts to read us, and suddenly your eyes get opened, and you see about the realities of God's kingdom, and God's kingdom, and also God's promises. The thing that changed me, that lovely song, just give me Jesus. I had a revelation of the name of Jesus. I'd grown up, I was privileged, and I mean privileged, just to grow up in a church school. I can remember my first RE lesson learning when I was 7 or 8, the Beatitudes. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened up his mouth, saying unto them. Anyway, that's... But it went in somewhere. It's just gone deep inside. And I can remember 7 or 8 just learning all the Beatitudes. Because God's got a purpose when he puts his word inside of you. It's not about here. It's not about intelligence. It's about your spirit growing. And when it's for eternity, you see, the real you is on the inside. It's not what we say, all nice and smart and beautiful and handsome that I behold now. The real you is inside. And one day we'll be planted into this ground. And we'll go into the ground just like a seed. And a seed's not very much to look at, is it? But if it's put in the right soil, it'll open. And what do we get from that seed? Beauty, fragrance, life. Because in eternity, and this is your destiny, this is your destiny, eternity. Some people live and even move in the realm of faith as though all that really matters is here and now. It isn't. The best is yet to come. Hallelujah. And God is starting the work. There's great things to do in eternity. Great things. Throughout July and a Tuesday, I'm going to be sharing some of what God has plans for us. People say, oh, it all gets complicated. Well, it doesn't get complicated in God, because he's a discerner. And he gets us ready. You know, God will use anyone. I've heard such disparaging remarks about... President Trump. People call him an idiot, and I know that he does some foolish things and so on. I want to tell you, that man has been used by God. Incredibly. There's a man in the Bible by the name of Cyrus. Now, Cyrus is a king of Persia. And Isaiah prophesied about him. I think it's chapter 43, around there anyway. Yeah, I'm sure it is. 43 and 44. And he's named. And the critics say, that couldn't be true. How can you name someone who's lived 100 years before he existed? Well, it's the word of God. Hallelujah. That's why. And then if you read Nehemiah and Ezra, you'll see that this man was used by God to let the children of Israel come out of captivity and come back again. Exactly what Isaiah prophesied came to pass. And Trump has been used by God. You know, when Israel's gone back and the embassy been relocated again, that law was actually passed many years ago. But nobody would implement it because they didn't want to cause trouble and upset people. Upset all the surrounding nations who hate Israel anyway. But God had raised this man up. God has raised him up as well. He's all the time asking for prayer. And I know he makes some terrible mistakes and so on. But you know, who denied and stopped the Christmas celebrations? It wasn't Trump. It was Obama. That really nice guy, so sweet to listen to and so on. The things that were dismantled. Now, I'm not making a political lesson here. I'm just telling you that God uses the most unlikely people. And God has got his Cyruses raised up. And there's a lot of things, and I discovered this because I've just come back comparatively recently anyway from Washington. And in Washington there, where we just heard some of the incredible stories. Actually, we were there on May the 14th, and on May the 14th, 70 years ago, the nation of Israel was born, hallelujah, reborn, prophesied. People said, no, it's just a freak accident. It isn't. It's in the plan and purposes of God. 6.5 million Jews slaughtered just a few years before. Slaughtered mercilessly. Wiped out by an advanced civilization, so-called Germany. But God's going to have the last word. And on May the 14th, at the break of dawn, Gwyn and I, with these other people who were there, we just prayed over Washington. That's the most influential capital in the world, isn't it? We just pray for God to give guidance and thank God for what he'd done for his ancient people, the Jews. And as we prayed, and you know what else was happening? As the time went on, all around this world, there were people at the break of dawn of May the 14th. From one end, from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, the name of the Lord will be praised. All over this world, thousands of people just crying out to God. Hallelujah. Does God answer prayer? Yes, he does. Is it the way that I expect? No, it isn't. Some people get very frustrated. Some people think that they see something, they name it, they claim it, they say, that's it now, it's all going to happen. I tell you, there's a battle. And sometimes when you're in the spirit, it's not the way that you think it's going to be. Have you found that God doesn't move in logical ways? Well, our logic. His ways are higher than our ways. But I know this, that everything in your life, everything is working together for good to those who love the Lord. Every single thing. Have you got some bad things happening in your life? Well, I know there's quite a few here that do have. Is that the end? Bad things? No. God's going to use it to humble you, to break you. How many times have we sung, break me, mold me, but fill me. Glory to God. God is after this vessel, the real you inside, not this outer thing which is going to perish. Glory to God. Aren't you glad that God is on the move, that the kingdom of God is coming, that God is going to raise up Cyruses? This world is crazy. The things that, the laws that are being passed, the things that you can't say. I didn't think in my lifetime I would see in the United Kingdom. I'd read about it in the communist states where you're controlled. You can only say certain things to please something. Ben and Sharon, relative of some and known to quite a lot here. First couple married here. Arrested for just making a stand for the Lord and saying to a woman who'd said she was a Christian and now she'd become a Muslim. And they said, what a shame. That's called hate speech, apparently. Well, their challenge was, well, you couldn't really have known Jesus. You knew religion. Maybe you went to church or something. But when you know Jesus, when you really know Jesus, you'll never be the same again. Hallelujah. And that's the challenge for us, to get rightly connected to God. Do you know, it's a fascinating study to see how the Bible came together. And it was written on documents, as you know, ancient documents. But at the time, a paper wasn't invented. So they wrote it on, all sorts of things, papyrus reeds and on animal skins. And it was very precious. And of course, there was a great deal of illiteracy, but there was also an awful lot of people who knew what they were doing. And they come across documents with scripture, and it's the one I'm thinking of is called a palimpsest. Now, a palimpsest was this. It's where something is written, and then someone comes along and erases it, and then they write something else in. Now, because the documents are so old, we're talking about thousands of years, of course, to find the documents, such as when they found the Dead Sea Scrolls, oh, wow, it's priceless. Even those who aren't interested, really, in faith, are fascinated by these ancient documents. And by the way, there are more documents for Christianity, for Jesus Christ, than for all of the ancient wars that were fought, which people just never complain about, never deny. But how often do they deny that the scriptures are true? Anyway, that's another story. Where was I up to? Oh, yeah. Now, one of these palimpsests, they put them together and they call them codices, codex, and they're all given letters and names. And this codex C that they found, and they found this and they thought, oh, this is nice. And on the surface was this beautiful hymn, okay? Great hymn. So this monk or whoever had written this beautiful hymn. And when they looked at it closely, they said, there's actually something else underneath that's been erased. And it was scripture. It was scripture. So a hymn had replaced scripture. Now, I think that's terrible, don't you? And we've got to be so careful. Sometimes, you see, people put other things on the top, and they're not bad things. Choruses are great, I love them. Hymns, even better, we don't sing enough of them. Amen, said some people. But there we are, you see, that sometimes we can cover up the best with something that is good. And the good can often be the enemy of the best. Fancy hiding God's word under a hymn. Fancy hiding God's word under circumstances of life or anything else. Because God gets right down to the heart of the matter, and at the heart of the matter is you being rightly connected to the Lord and me being rightly connected to God. This is where it's at. And you know, in the Bible, in the Word of God, the living, eternal Word of God, which runs to and fro throughout the world, and it's sent out for a purpose. When you pray, and I hope you do this, I hope you pray scriptures. Most times if I'm writing to someone or Gwyn and I send, we'd like to put a verse on. Not just because, okay, you know, that's the thing to do. I pray about what verse. I really do. That's why I can honestly say I believe for Dave and Carol, Jeremiah 31 and verse 4. And there's verses for you, because I know when people have given me verses, nearly knocked me out. I mean, so relevant. So this word of God is living and powerful. And we need to take this word of God. And we need to see that this is where it begins. And when you pray the word of God, this word goes out. And you know what the Bible says? It doesn't return what? Oh, good. Still with me. It does not return empty. So if you are praying for someone and you don't know what to pray and then you start praying a scripture for them, it's as though this word of God goes out up to heaven. It goes around the world. You can be praying for someone in Australia and then that word is going to land in God's time. Hallelujah. Anyway, some of you think so. I know it's true. And when the word of God hits you, and that's the first thing that convinced me of Christianity, that the Bible is the word of God. Absolutely. As I said earlier, I for some reason, I was always good at Bible and all that sort of stuff. But when I started to study it at advanced level, they started to tell me, well, you know, this isn't really true. It wasn't one Isaiah, it was many Isaiahs. And I could go on. And these are theologians, these are church leaders. Oh, the poverty of man. They would try and write their natural wisdom above the word of God. But let God be true and every man be found a liar. The word of God will accomplish what it set out to achieve. But you know this, it says, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. So it's right to get the word of God in you, but it also says that with the mouth confession is made to salvation. Have you ever been in a situation where you knew you should have said something and you didn't? I remember when I was 19, I was working in the education office locally. Don't think it exists now, but anyway. I was there and there was one of my colleagues and he said to me, no, I just haven't been well. I've got all these big lumps shooting out all over my body. I said, oh, that's awful. And I felt the Lord saying to me, pray for him, tell him you'll pray. But I was just starting out and I didn't. And he was dead 2 days later. Boy, was that a blow to me. And I went to the Lord and I prayed, obviously gave him to the Lord, young man, right out the blue. But I want to be found faithful to God. And I've got that word of God in my heart. I don't doubt it for a minute. I don't care who mocks me or scoffs. It just doesn't matter. It actually doesn't touch me, it makes me more resolute. Particularly when you see the end, as the Bible says, just look at the end. Have you just been reading these number of famous, so-called famous stars and people? They've got everything this world has, and what are they doing? They're taking their own lives. And you don't need to. We need to lose our life. That means our self-life. That's all it means. It's no longer I who lives, but Christ who lives in me. Now, does God hold me condemned because of my failings in that instant? No. When I give it to the Lord, he says, now go forth. Learn from this, because everything, even the failures in life, even the disappointments in life, the hurts and the pains in life, everything can work together for what? For what? For what? Hallelujah, you're getting it. Not for bad. He's a good, good father. Did you sing that from the bottom of your heart? Everything about God is good. He cannot be anything other than good. He cannot be anything other than great. He cannot be anything than all loving, all truthful. There's nothing There's nothing that in God is negative. In him he is yea and amen. And everything that is happening in this life is preparing us for the age to come. Let's just look at Psalm 98, did I say? I've forgotten now, Paulie. Sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have gained him the victory. Now, this is the new song. We touched on this last week. Do you just want to sing the old song? You know, I was listening to some really old choruses the other day. and they were lovely. And they brought back memories. But, you know, I just thought, thank you for the memories, Lord. But there's new things that you're doing as well. God wants to do a new thing in your life. He wants to give you a new song. He wants to make you a new creature, forgetting the former things, leaving those things behind. Press on. Let's get into it. Let's go on to the next verse, Pauline. The Lord has made known his salvation. His righteousness is revealed to all nations. He's remembered his loving kindness and faithful towards the end of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Now, I know there's a few people here who are getting really good with Hebrew. Did I see Colin? Yeah, still working on it. He's doing well. Now, that word in Hebrew, do you know what that word is? Salvation. Yeshua. What's Yeshua translated into English? Jesus. Isn't that amazing? All the ends of the earth have seen Yeshua, of our God. Hallelujah. You see, when you read the Bible, if you just read it at one level, some people say, oh, I've read the Bible through from beginning to end, can't make any sense of it. Well, they've never read it, the Bible, they just looked at the words. When you read the Bible, or rather, as I said earlier, when the Bible reads you, you start to get deeper. And here, right in the depths of Scripture, for the Jewish people, they can see the salvation, Yeshua, of our God. And it's speaking about God's faithfulness to Israel. Let's look at the next verse. Verse 4, please. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth and sing for joy. Sing praises. Sing praises to the Lord with the lyre. Now, we looked at this last week. We practiced it last week. Some people didn't bring their dancing shoes again this week. No tambourine still? I don't know. Have to work on it again. But this is what God wants us to do. There's joy. Joy comes in the morning. God wants us to be a joyful people. An absolutely, totally, and utterly joyful people. Who led the Jewish army? The worshippers. Right, worship band, the army will follow you. Going to war. That's a stupid thing to do, isn't it? Putting the singers and the dancers, putting them in the front row. Great victories happened when they did that. Walls came tumbling down. Enemies were defeated. And then when they got complacent, of course, it went the other way. The only way to victory is to get into God's mindset, not ours. How many times have people said, when things get a bit better, I'll start coming back to fellowship? When circumstances change? No. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Not for everything, in everything. In everything, give thanks. Say it to the person next to you. In everything, give thanks. I'd say it as though you mean it. In everything, give thanks. Pat said that she does. You've got to just offer this sacrifice of praise right at the front. right at the point of breakthrough. God is the God of breakthrough. What happened when they rebuilt, when Cyrus had released the children of Israel, they had the right to come back, they had to build the walls. Was it easy? No. They had enemies all around them, trying to discourage them, pull them down. You idiots, it'll never be done. Jerusalem will never be rebuilt. Wow. They said that 2,000 years ago in AD 70 and then AD 135. The Romans booted out all the Jews and changed the name. And that's where the name Palestine comes from. It's not a country, by the way. It's a play on the word Philistines. And it was an insult to the Jews. Booted out 2,000 years ago. In our day and generation, Israel, it's just a political happening. That's what so many of the churches say. It isn't. This is a marvelous doing in our eyes. This is what God has done. He sent forth his word. He said to Abraham, to you and to your descendants, I will give this land. For how long? Sorry? Hallelujah. If God gives you a promise forever, how long is forever? So when you're born again, are you born again today and then lost tomorrow? No, you're not. Forever and ever. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let God arise and let his enemies be scattered. You know, I am quite sure that there'll be a lot more challenges and persecution to believers, leaders of churches. Maybe even in months that lie ahead, in years that lie ahead. Let God be true. Glory to God. I have a dear friend, Pavel, from Romania. Some of you might remember he has been over here. And he told me once, he followed God in Ceausescu rule, vicious, evil man. Communism ruled. They were all betraying each other. And the Christians, he included as a young man, they had to go into the forests to meet. Did it put them off? Far from it. They went in the forest. They sought God. They prayed to God. What do we say? Oh, it's a bit cold tonight. I'm not going to the whiteboard meeting, you know. I'll go next week. Anyway, he was there with these people. They believed God. They trusted God. When will this end? It didn't end in 1 year. It didn't end in 2 or even 10 years. But it came to an end. Glory to God. And then Pavel told me this story. He said one day his neighbor came to him and said, oh, you're coming down to the police station. He'd been arrested many times, by the way, Pavel. And he said, what do I want to go down to the police station for? He said, they're opening all the documents. And now that communism has fallen in Romania, you can go and see. You will be able to see what they wrote about you. What you were being challenged about and lied about. And Pavel said, no, I'm not going down. I'm not going down. And his neighbor said, why? Why aren't you going down? And he said, for this reason. He said, when I look on those lists, I might find the names of some of my neighbors who betrayed me. I might find the name of people who I would have considered friends on that list. I might even find people from my own church, because they still could meet church, but it was totally supervised and controlled. He said, I don't want to see any of those names. He said, I've made a choice that just as Christ has forgiven me my sins, and now we're free, now the word of God has got me free, I'm never going back again. I don't want to go back and hang on to bitterness and resentment and so on. Wow. There's a higher way and there's a better way, my friends. And we've had the word given. You know, when words are given, please don't just let the meeting just go on. When God's speaking to you, when the word of God is going into your heart and life, you must do something about it. Some people miss out first time and they have to wait years before it comes back again. Could we just look in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, please, Pauline? We'll drop down a bit. This is called a Bible. Put my iPad to one side. Let's pick it up from verse 5, okay? Not that we are adequate in ourselves to consider anything as coming from ourselves. Our adequacy is from God. Isn't that a lovely little testimony, that girl and the Alpha? See, it's not what we've got, not what we've done. It's God who is on our adequacy. Let's go on a bit. Next verse. Who also made us adequate as servants of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Hallelujah. Isn't that powerful? No, leave that one on, please, Pauline. As servants of a new covenant. Now, where do we find the new covenant first in the Bible? Jeremiah, what chapter? 31. Jeremiah 31. And where is the new covenant written? In our hearts. Remember, this is for Jeremiah. That's why when the Bible says, search the scripture, Jesus said, for these are they which testify of me. He was talking about the Tanakh, the Old Testament. Wasn't talking about the new, because that wasn't written, all that I told you before about the codices and all that. No, this one here now, it tells us that this new covenant was there, just like the name of Jesus, salvation, was there. And so here now, servants of a new covenant. So what do I need to tell people? Listen, you don't need to struggle and strive. God has put his Spirit within you. It's in your heart. You can be right with God today. You don't have to wait till tomorrow. You don't have to follow the old things. Now, there were a number of covenants, and I haven't got time to go through them. This is not talking about the Abrahamic covenant. That was a promise that the peoples of the world would be saved and that Israel would have a land and so on. This is talking about the Mosaic one. This is talking about religion. And this is what religion does. It binds people up. It kills them. And there are many people here who were religious. And they've come out of religion. And they've come into the Spirit. Glory to God. And the Spirit has come alive. And the Spirit doesn't kill. The Spirit brings life. Hallelujah. Deep inside of you there is a Spirit. You need to speak, I said before, about the word of God to your spirit. Spring up, O well. Say to your spirit, spring up, O well, forever spring inside of you. Let it spring up unto eternal life. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. The letter kills. The Spirit gives life. Paul's writing this to the Corinthians. The Corinthians was a right mix of a church. He speaks about a glory that fades away. Let's just go down to verse 14, please, Pauline. Their minds were hardened, for until this very day at the reading of the old covenant, the same veil remains unlifted because it is only removed in Christ. Next verse, please. To this day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their heart. But whenever a person turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now, you've all seen the women veiled in the Middle East, and that's a sort of veil. It wasn't a little hat, or even in our custom in the weddings, though that's changed now, where the bride had a veil just over her face. This was a full covering, and this is what he's comparing it to. And he says this, whenever Moses is read, without the Spirit of God, the Bible is a dead letter. It does not make sense. You cannot understand it. But whenever a person, first of all, turns to Jesus, turns to the Lord, Yeshua, that veil is taken away. And suddenly now, you'll say, why did I not see this before? Why were my eyes blinded? Why did I not understand? Now, this is a sign that you are truly born of God's Spirit, when the Word of God comes alive, when people begin to see a change in you, because you cannot continue in the same way. Let's have the next verse, please, Pauline. 17. Now the Lord is the Spirit. The Lord is the Spirit. Remember, we spoke about that sacred dance, perichoresis, last week. We're dancing together, I in the Father in me. And it says very clearly, the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's what? Liberty. Glory to God. There's freedom. There's joy. Verse 18, please, Pauline. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into that same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord the Spirit. It's a new song. There's a new glory God wants to bring into your life. There's a new hope God wants to bring into your life. There's a new truth God wants to reveal for you. He does not want the former things. They've passed away, even the good things. It's a new day. It's a new song. It's a new beginning. It's a new hope. It's a new life. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Jesus came not to make you more religious. Jesus came to set your spirit free. Hallelujah. That you're no longer bound, but you're abounding in the Lord. God wants to take hold of people today. He does not want you any longer just to be hindered and restricted. He wants to bring you into your new day, into your new experience, into your new hope and your new trust and your new confidence. Glory to God.